It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin is home to places built on or around effigy mounds that were created by indigenous people centuries ago.
And a lot of work goes into finding those mounds and putting them on the map.
A father and son team of Ho-Chunk caretakers of the mounds has been traveling around the state to identify and survey them for decades, starting in the late 1980s with a site on land owned by Muscadet farmer Frank Shadowald.
Richie Brown is an elder of the Ho-Chunk Nation and a former manager of the Ho-Chunk Department of Natural Resources. And his son, Casey Brown, is a comedian, award-winning documentary producer, and member of the Ho-Chunk Nation. Richie, thanks for joining us.
It was my son that convinced me to make the trip down, so here I am. I'm glad to be here.
Casey, thanks for coming, and thanks for bringing your dad along.
Thank you for having the both of us here.
Richie, can you start off by telling us what effigy mounds are for people who may have heard of the mounds but don't really know what they are?
Well, Wisconsin's unique in that we're about the only place in the country that'll have effigy mounds. It's along the Wisconsin River up the Mississippi River. And if you go up to Wisconsin all the way to the headwaters of the Wisconsin, you'll find them there, and you'll find them. There's a portage there that takes you into the Ontonagon River and up into the Lake Superior. They're along there, too. They're in the UP, too. So it's unique to the country. This is the only place you'll find them. In southern Wisconsin, there's just a ton of them. And then here in Madison, you know, the Capitol was built on effigy mounds. So, and what they are is the effigy mounds is different from just being a there's a lot of mounds around that are just conicals or linears, but these are actually made in shapes of animals or entities or birds or, you know, I've seen fox mounds, there's otter mounds, eagle mounds, bear mounds, you name it, they're out there.
Now, Richie, how did you get involved in working with these effigy mounds?
Well, what brought us or started this was way back in 88. Back then, I was the head of the Ho-Chunk DNR in Black River Falls. So when I first started surveying these and looking at all these mounds, I was really interested and fascinated, but I didn't know half the story then. I just knew what they were, but I didn't understand the power they hold and the power they still hold and what they mean to the people that built them and the fact that we're still visiting them. That's the key to all this, is that they're still being used. So it's an amazing journey we've been on for a long time. And when I started that, Casey wasn't quite this old as he is today. So, but being a dad, I used to, whenever I was on the road and he was available, I'd take him along. So he just kind of got used to being in the truck, because we covered a lot of ground, and we went from a lot of Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, the UP, and Ohio, Indiana, and then went to Canada a few times.
Sounds like you two really traveled all over the place. Casey, can you talk a little bit about what it was like growing up, going to these mounds and seeing that part of the history of this place we live?
Well, as you can tell, my dad said we were going to all these places. Even today, sometimes I have to look at him and someone will ask me, they're like, oh, have you seen this mound? And I'll have to look to my dad. He's like, yes, we've been there. Because, you know, being a little kid, I'd have a book or maybe a Game Boy. I obviously wanted to be doing something else like every little kid. But going out there, I knew that it was important, and I knew we were tromping around the woods for some sort of reason. And gradually, as I've gotten older, I really appreciate it that I had, you know, it was a very unique childhood. And especially, I know a lot of people that spent time with their dad doing stuff, but it was, what we were doing was something very different. And I didn't fully grasp it at the time. And even as, you know, my father said, like, you know, I kind of knew about it and I knew what was going on, but at more and more, the mounds have, as I've grown older, they've meant different things to me.
And Richie, the two of you have done a lot of this work finding and marking these mounds. There's a bigger team behind these efforts, too. Can you talk about who you've been working with, collaborating with, to do this amazing project?
Well, I work with a nonprofit. It's Ancient Footprints. And there we've got one of the principals in it. It was Steve Solberg. He's a land surveyor over in La Crosse. And then another guy that works with us running the GPR is Ben Hansen. He's a civil engineer out of Viroqua. And then we've got a soil scientist out of Galesville, Emery Palmer, Highcliffe. They volunteer their time all at the, you know, if you need anything, they're right with you. And Ben's also a pilot, so if we need to go somewhere quick, he'll get us there. So like I said, we've done a lot. We've been up in the UP quite a few times. We've been to Beaver Island. And anytime you ask them for if they want to go along, they'll just set aside whatever they're working on, and they'll join the party, because it's something that takes you places you've never been.
Now, Casey, you mentioned you didn't necessarily fully appreciate things when you were a kid. Now, obviously, that's changed. You're working on a documentary about your father's work and about the mounds here in Wisconsin. Can you tell us a little bit about that work?
Certainly. One thing that my father was talking about is just kind of the crew of people, and that's what's so interesting, is it really is a motley crew, and I like to call them the Mounds Heroes. It's folks that as he said, you know, emeritus professors to farmers, just people that these mounds have, like, touched their lives in one way or another, and it's both native and non-native people that really that are affected by these earthworks. So to my own horn, I recently won an Emmy, and of course I won that when I was working with the Ho-Chunk Nation for a piece on Truman Lowe, a biopiece on the artist Truman Lowe. So of course folks are asking, well, what's your next project going to be? And this seemed like a very obvious choice, because it's something I'd been talking about and I've been working with my father on, and a lot of folks don't know about it. And I guess I kind of have a lot of just knowledge about mounds. My base knowledge on mounds is, I think, a lot higher than most people. So there's a lot of, there are other videos out there about mounds, but what the film that I'm looking to make is, it's a documentary that's more indigenous focused, from an indigenous perspective. And even the format, instead of it just being sort of linear, like, here, we're going to start and end talking about mounds, it goes through the entire seasons, because ultimately these mounds, it's important to see them throughout the year, because they mean something, as my dad said. You know, Frank noticed it at a specific time, where in the winter, where you're right there, where you can see the sunset. All these mounds are going to be very different through the year, and it's just interesting to look at it from a different way, where it's not necessarily just fully based on the archaeology, but also the indigenous perspective and, you know, how people are affected by them, both native and non-native.
I wanted to ask you about that, Richie. Are a lot of effigy mounds lined up in conjunction with the seasons, the sun, the stars?
A lot of these sites are aligned with different times. And the interesting part about that is the stories that go with them, because when we went to, we started, like I said, at Frank's property down in Muscadet, and there at that time, Frank was a retired farmer, and he just had an interest in what was there. But then once I got involved, I decided to see what our traditional court or our elders knew about this. So I took the time to ask. First, I went to our traditional court leaders, which is the elders in each clan, and talked to them. And they had some idea, but then they said, well, the stories are out there. Maybe you should take some more elders down there. So what we did is we set up a tour where I actually had casino buses, and I loaded them up with elders. We took them down there for the day and had a lunch for them, took them down, showed them the mounds. And then at the end of the day, when we took them all home, I gave them all my card with a phone number on. I said, so if anything, you think of anything, just give me a call. I got on one of the buses that was there with the going down the mounds. And as soon as we got down right on the riverbank there, they were getting out of the buses. And the ladies in front of me got a big grin on their face. And they're looking at each other. And can you hear it? And what they could hear was drums. So They knew they were somewhere important. But see, that I wasn't quite in tune with things at that time, so I didn't hear them, but I'm glad they heard them. So what I got back then, eventually I got the name of the site was a Ho-Chunk name, and it was where the eagle sits down. You know, when the eagle lands, it adjusts its wings. Well, that's what the name of the village site was. The Ho-Chunk people have been in the area in Wisconsin for two ice ages, so our stories go way back.
Casey, I want to ask you a couple questions. First of all, hearing your dad talk about the elders, hearing the drums when they saw this mound, can you talk a little bit about the power, the response you see from people when they maybe see some of these mounds for the first time and realize and make the connections with them?
I think that's something I've been thinking about. Think about all the time, just how they affect me. But especially when people see them for the first time, it's just like you can like take a look at pictures. I even have this problem going in with the film is trying to transfer, like when you're there and seeing it and witnessing these mounds, it's not just, you know, ostensibly it's a clump of dirt. It's just a pile of dirt. But once you're actually there and you see it, and the big thing is they're not just, these mounds aren't just placed in willy-nilly. They're put in places for specific reasons, pointing different ways. And you have to be in the landscape, and you have to be able to look around to take everything in to see, you know, perhaps you're right next to a river, you're near some water, there's, you know, big hills over here. So I think the majesty of the mounds is hard to transfer just by a picture or even a film or a video. But, you know, that's the hard task of trying to capture it. But seeing people actually go to them for the first time, and that's, you know, Native and non-Native people, just knowing and taking a look at it. And then once you learn about the amount of work, you know, thinking with hands and maybe, you know, a shovel or a hoe made out of bone and a basket made out of reeds, that's how these mounds were made, when it's dump trucks full of dirt that were brought, you know, not even on top of the land, but going underneath as well. And dirt, not just from, you know, just a couple 20 feet over, but even miles away. So once you actually learn about them and figure out how they were made, it's, you certainly feel something when you're there.
And Casey, a lot of these, as you mentioned, are on private land. Some farmers are going to be very willing. Landowners will be very willing to work with you. Others may not know what they have. When it comes to surveying and marking and now filming your documentary, what are some of the challenges in making those connections with the people who are now the deed holders for the land these mounds are on?
I got to tell you, and every time, even as I've been listening through this interview, I'm always learning from my father and how to do that. He's been doing this for years. And, you know, I'm certainly, my dad's quieter than me. I'm certainly more of the type A, really loud. There's a joke. So actually one of my uncles told me this joke. So we're Bear Clan. Bear Clan's kind of, we take care of the earth and, you know, kind of general infantry as well. So even our powwows, we have Bear Clan security. So Bison Clan or Buffalo Clan, those are the people that talk. You know, if you go to a powwow, that's like traditionally the MC would be there. So I had an uncle that always was making fun of, you know, it's like, are you sure your mom wasn't rolling with a Buffalo Clan guy? And like, I look a lot like my dad, so it's obviously like not, but I, you know, I'm certainly more talkative. But I think just watching him and seeing how he interacted with a lot of these folks, just especially building those relationships. And just as he said, like talking with elders and like, here's my card, and going to them and not just expecting people to come to you and to make that effort. And especially with folks that have been there, you know, some of these farmers have generations, their family have been there. And I can see just, you know, some young native guy coming in like, hey, by the way, you know, I have more provenance to this than you do. Let me come here. This is my thing. You can't walk in like that, obviously. And not to mention, you know, these people have their own stories now, and those are just as important. I mean, they have perhaps like hundreds of years of stories just talking, you know, their family had been there that long. So it's important to, when you walk in, to be cognizant of that as well and to be respectful to everyone.
Richie, you've done so much to share the mounds with your son, with the next generation, your own family, and the next generation, period. Why is it important to you that future generations are going to be able to go and see these mounds that you're working on right now?
These sites have a lot of power, have a lot of energy, and that's why you have to be real careful and respectful what you do there, too. but it's some amazing stuff and it's amazing opportunity. And that's what I want to be able to share this stuff with the younger generation, because the way things are today in society in general, they need something to hang on to, just to guide them through everything that's going on today. So, and that's what we're trying to do, is leave something for the younger generation.
That's a great place to leave it. Richie and Casey, thanks for joining us in the studio.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
We've been talking with Richie and Casey Brown from the Ho-Chunk Nation about their work surveying and marking effigy mounds around the state and what those mounds mean to Native and non-Native communities here in Wisconsin.